Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Those numbers are unreal.
Ohtani drives that down the right field line. Help yourself out, big fella. One run comes in. Stassi scores. Ohtani digging for third. A two-run triple. Marsh scores. 3-0 Halos. Come on.
All right. It's exactly what it sounds like. Shohei Ohtani was dominant. The Astros lose 7-1 last night. This is one of the worst losses I can remember of the last couple of months with the Astros.
Fire everybody.
Everybody's gone. No, not serious AT&T. But Shohei Ohtani pitched 6 innings. He strikes out 12, and he drives in 2 with the triple. The Angels had 12 hits, and the team combined for 32 strikeouts. So this was tough to watch. It's just one game. But
I'm
yeah.
depressed.
Yeah. That
Vanessa, I think at certain points in presidential campaigns, one campaign just steps down. And I know it's one game and there's 162 games over the course of a regular season. I feel like I'm going to have to retire as the chairman of the committee to make Yordan Alvarez
this
MVP.
This is a big deal, man. You've been riding this train
for a good 2 weeks. Yes.
Which is a long time for you for anything.
Yes, it is. But good God, I mean, what do you say? And I know, like, Shohei Ohtani's playing for a team that's going to finish probably 15 to 20 games under 500 in fourth place or something like that. But my God, that guy's good. Whether as a pitcher, where 12 strikeouts against any lineup is impressive, but against the Astros, that's something else. And then you have a triple of all things. So he's showing off that the guy actually can run on the base paths pretty well, too. It's depressing. I don't know how Yordan wins. Yordan's injured, and Shohei Ohtani still alive, defending MVP, looking like he's probably going to win the MVP again.
Do you want to know what's actually more depressing for me, just from an MLB perspective? Because I think the Astros are going to be fine. The Angels are not going to probably be successful because you can't have one player carry the whole team. Is that he's on the Angels? Like, I would love to see Shohei Ohtani on a team. I like the Astros, as much as I hate to say this, the Yankees. A team that actually has potential where he could fully live up to it. Because you can see how great he is. Baseball isn't as much a team sport as, like, football. But I wish he were on a team that were better for an MLB perspective.
Okay, now you're giving me a little bit of ammunition, Vanessa. Because I'm trying to think of ways to spin the next negative ad. If this committee for Yordan Alvarez for MVP is to stay alive.
Committee one person. Oh, it's you and Aria.
Right, my cat.
Yeah.
She's actually the ringleader, you know, especially.
The sunglasses picture.
For anything that could get me canceled. Oh, yeah, my cat. I put sunglasses
Guys,
on her last night.
Guys, go look on Paul's Twitter.
She was surprisingly tolerant of that. But, okay, you hit it. You hit it right there.
Does Shohei Ohtani care about winning? Because if Shohei Ohtani cared about winning, he'd stop playing for the Angels and force his way out of town.
This has been paid for by the committee to make Yordan Alvarez MVP. I mean, that's the way to do it, isn't it? If you're Shohei Ohtani, you haven't signed the long-term contract, so I suppose that there's a little bit of flexibility on that front in the near future. I honestly don't know the specifics of his contract right now. But, I mean, if you care about winning, just stop playing. Because you'll get traded, and you get to get traded
it's
wherever you want to go.
Player empowerment, baby.
Hell yeah.
I almost think that he has too much integrity to do that. But it was a bummer. It is a bummer. Bummer that the Astros lost, but they play the Angels again before they take on the Oakland Athletics. They are going to hopefully coast into the All-Star break, which we don't expect. Obviously, we won't see Justin Verlander or Yordan Alvarez, but a couple other Astros players there. That will be fun.
Right. There's Jose Altuve, there's Kyle Tucker, and there's Framber Valdez. So, I mean, I still want them all to boycott it, but okay, we'll at least have something to watch during the All-Star game. Interesting yesterday, too. From just a looking at the Astros perspective, Christian Javier continues to strike out everybody. It's really impressive. I know that was not the kind of outing that you wanted from him yesterday, where he barely lasts deep into the game at all. But that guy is a strikeout machine. And what was it yesterday? I mean, I think it was what, 8 strikeouts, 9 strikeouts in like 3 innings or so? It was impressive. Now, again, you can't give up all the runs and all that stuff. But I'm curious as to what happens when everyone gets healthy, assuming that ever does happen, because Javier seems like someone that you could easily keep in the rotation, say you really feel good about that, or you could move him to the bullpen and just say, hey, dude, we're going to bring you in to flamethrower people. Is that the verb?
Flamethrower?
Flamethrower.
He may not be bad, too, in the bullpen, because we've seen him sometimes not last as long as maybe Dusty Baker would like. But you're right. I mean, he's getting the job done. Lance McCullers Jr. is, by the way, supposed to throw a couple of simulated innings. I believe on Saturday he threw two simulated innings. There's still no clear timeline for his return thus far.
Nope.
There was a stat that MLB's Twitter put out that I saw. It was a little disturbing to me, a little disheartening.
Disturbing? Disheartening?
Very disappointed in this. Shohei Ohtani joins Nolan Ryan as the only Angels pitchers to throw 10-plus strikeouts in four consecutive games. Just something about the fact that it happened when he played the Astros and it involves Nolan Ryan was a little bit of a dagger.
I also forgot Nolan Ryan pitched for the Angels.
Totally, until that I saw He's that tweet for, and I was like, that's right.
How many teams did he pitch for? I think it was five or six over the, because I know it was the Rangers, I know it was the Astros too. I think it was the Mets as well for a brief period of time, and there's another team that I think I am forgetting. But I forgot
Mets,
about the
Angels.
Angels,
Astros, Rangers.
Okay, so just four teams. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, he's doing historic things. I don't know really what else you can say about him. I do enjoy watching him, I'm not going to lie. And to your point, too, yeah, it is a bit of a bummer that he's playing for a nothing team. But the Angels shouldn't be a nothing team. Like, they clearly have money to spend. They just gave Mike Trout $500 million. They have Noah Syndergaard, who clearly is not the same Noah Syndergaard of old. They have Anthony Rendon, if I'm not mistaken, too. Like,
they have Anthony Rendon. Rendon has been hurt, so he hasn't been able to play.
Huh, just doesn't care about winning, huh?
But, well... He won a World Series here in his hometown.
You know who else doesn't care about winning? Mike Trout.
That's the culture that Mike Trout's breeding over there in Anaheim.
That's right, Sean.
That is the culture. That is the culture.
This message brought to you by Jordan for MVP.
Okay, so what do we see for the Astros? If they can get Lance McCullers Jr. healthy, if Christian Javier can produce a little more, and as long as they're not playing Shohei Ohtani for every game, do we like the path that the Astros are on now? If you remember at the beginning of the season, it was rough sledding for the offense. It was tough for them to get hits. Pitching has always been pretty consistent. What do we see for the Astros as the season progresses?
Well, they will be challenged in the second half of the year by Seattle. And
the side chick.
Look, I know a lot of you guys are being very dismissive of Seattle right now, and I think it's fair to be, but Seattle has won 10 games in a row, and they just won both halves of a doubleheader last night. Julio Rodriguez, their young phenom star, has been incredible. I mean, he's going to win the Rookie of the Year. I know we all want it to be Jeremy Peña here, but it's going to be Julio. And they are a team that this year has given the Astros trouble. They have not been a cakewalk like in years past where the Astros would go, 18-1 against Seattle. So, look, I don't think Seattle's going to actually challenge them for the American League West, but I do think that they will be one of the more prickly thorns in their side the rest of the way, because they have been playing well of late, and that's the first series coming out of the All-Star break. I will be there, in fact, for the first game of that series.
Fun.
Right? Yeah, so that's next Friday.
Okay, that'll be fun. All right, the other thing is that they didn't have Jordan Alvarez last night. Michael Brantley continues to be injured, and he's not going to come back until after the All-Star break. So that is one thing when you look at that 7-1 score. If Alvarez and Michael Brantley are there, I'm not going to say they win that game, but the score wouldn't be as gross as it was to look at, in my opinion.
Yeah, probably not.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, nothing really else on this. I mean, it sucks that they lost 7-1, but I feel like sometimes it is fun to watch other stars on other teams, and I will admit that I enjoy watching Shohei Ohtani. Mike Trout, boring. Sorry.
If you want to leave the office early today, listen to me. We are in studio, but the next two shows, The Killer Bees and The Wheelhouse, are going to be at the Gentle Ben Tasting Room in Alvin.
Look at us.
If you enjoy a great cocktail, today is your day. Now, I know that
we get to drink on the job.
A little bit far out. But it's a good, have you had Gentle Ben's?
I have.
Okay. So I had Gentle Ben's when, Keyshawn Johnson was in town and I was actually surprised at how genuinely smooth it was.
Look at that.
If you're looking to have a good time, leave the office early. Our events are fun. Last night I went to, Kendrick Perkins and Swagoo's live podcast taping at the Rustic.
Did you get Perk to come on the show?
Perk will come on the show.
Good.
But they're both busy men. They had a lot of discussions.
Perk, I rooted for you with the Boston Celtics, okay? You owe this to me. I have told people that the only reason the Lakers won the title in the 2010-2011 season, 2009-2010, I forget when the year was.
Die hard.
09-10.
Thank you very much, Sean Mapes. But it was because you tore your ACL. That's the only reason they won. Local Houston legend. Come on the show, please. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant. Which Houston youngin are you the most excited about? Our producers,
whoa,
Sean Mapes,
bonk,
shaking his
bonk
head. We got a couple hot rookies in Houston. Which bonk one are you? That's made it even worse somehow. Which hot rookie are you the most excited about? That's coming up on Vanessa and Gallant.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
There's a lot of young studs in Houston. A lot of young studs, a lot of young men that we're excited to see how they develop.
I'm uncomfortable with you saying stud. I'm also uncomfortable with you saying young men now. I don't know why, but
youngins.
And watching them develop.
Watching them, yeah.
Yeah, can you stop, please?
There are some young, hot rookies in town.
Stop saying
with
hot.
With all seriousness, there are some rookies in town that,
yes,
Houston sports fans, I think, should be excited about. And when we were making our rundown last night and this morning and talking about our show, for some reason, I kept putting youngins in the rundown. Why? As Sean Mapes pointed out, when I could just put the word rookie. I don't know, but that is what it is.
I think it's because you're trying to adopt some colloquialisms,
yeah,
yourself.
For real, for real.
Right, because we already have, you know, Southern Paul that comes on to the show. And I do declare that youngins is what I used to call my boys when they were growing up down in the woods of Virginia.
Well,
I mean, up in the woods of Virginia.
Bussing for real, for real.
Okay, yeah. See, like,
was that
you're
good?
Now, I don't know what makes me more uncomfortable, you calling young Houston sports stars studs and hot, or you going for real, bussing?
No,
yo,
cap.
On God, bruh.
Hey, no,
okay,
cap. Okay, but we have Derek Stingley Jr. from the Texans for this argument. Derek Stingley Jr., Jabari Smith Jr., and Jeremy Pena. Which, and we want you guys to chime in on this as well on the Twitch line, text line, 713-780-3776. Which Houston rookie are you the most excited about? Yes, we know we've already gotten that sample size with Jeremy Pena, but a lot of people excited about Jabari Smith Jr.'s athleticism. And then Derek Stingley Jr., a lot of positive reviews by scouts, the guy that the Texans obviously had their eye on. So which Houston rookie excites you the most? We'll start with you, Paul.
Okay, so we're saying rookie, right? Rookie, nothing else. Look, I'm a football guy. It should be Pena. I'm not there yet with Jabari Smith. I feel like he's going to be overshadowed next year, especially by Jalen Green. It's going to be nice to have Smith on the roster, but Stingley excites me. And for those who care, he is plus 900 to win Defensive Rookie of the Year, which is essentially 9-1 odds. So I really want to see the Texans have a lockdown corner. And my hope is that a guy that very early in college was shutting down incredible wide receivers while he was at LSU and other SEC wide receivers as well, I am hoping that that guy can be a Jalen Ramsey or someone else, because it just changes so much for your defense when you have someone like that on the back end, and especially in a league that's got so many damn good receivers. There really aren't that many great cornerbacks. So Stingley is the one I'm most excited about.
For me, it comes down to something that actually somebody said on the text line, and they worded it better than I was going to, which is Pena, because all other teams aren't competing for anything. I think Jeremy Pena has major, major potential. Look, he has big shoes to fill, and we've said from the beginning it's really not fair to compare him directly to Carlos Correa. But let's be honest, if you're in that position, you're being compared to Carlos Correa, and he's done it. He's had two walk-off home runs. He's had a couple of stupid, you know, silly rookie errors, but nothing that's out of the ordinary. So he's probably the one that excites me the most, because I think the Astros are going to continue to win, and he can be a big piece of that.
I think the big question with Pena is how much better can he get?
Yeah.
Because when you look at him, I mean, he's come out, and he clearly looks the part. I mean, not to make more people uncomfortable by checking out Jeremy Pena's bod, but the guy's in damn good shape and does not look like someone that is say Kyle Tucker when he first came up. Remember Kyle Tucker when he first joined the Astros? I mean, the guy was a beanpole, and he's gotten a little bit of bulk on
him. He was a toothpick.
Right. Peña looks big, and if you're seeing him deliver at this level, I guess what's the next step, the next evolution for his game at the plate? Can he be someone that is as feared across baseball as Carlos Correa was? I think it's possible, but there's another part of me that wonders, okay, well, he's really good coming out. Maybe he's just going to be flatlining his whole career. Which, by the way, would be great. I mean, if that everything you've gotten out of Jeremy Peña thus far is a massive victory for the Astros.
Sean, what's up?
I would say Jabari is who I'm most, like, I feel, I'm not excited for him because I kind of have a lower ceiling and higher floor. I think he's going to be a very solid NBA player. He's going to be a good piece for this young Rockets team to kind of develop around. But Jeremy Peña has me the most excited, partly because of what you said at the start of the segment, we've actually seen him do it. And not only have we seen him do it, we've seen him look really fantastic for a good part of the year. There's parts of the season where he was probably, I don't know, like the third best hitter in the Houston lineup, who,
yeah,
by the way, is an awesome team. So that has me the most excited. Also, the HEB commercials have me the most excited. He is...
Salsa. That was a good one.
Yeah, he has, not just on the field, but off the field, he has acting chops. He really can
acting
be,
chops. There
he
we
can
go.
Really be a superstar on and off the field, especially since the Astros will be competing in October.
The nation's
going to fall in love with this kid.
I'm not sold on the acting chops. He's a young stud.
He is a young stud.
Oh, my God, you guys.
Well, no, here's
he's
the
24,
thing, though.
So.
With all seriousness, he is objectively good looking. I'm not being creepy. I'm not being Mrs. Robinson. I don't cross the line with athletes. I think he's good looking, too.
The word stud just is weird to me.
Well, not if you grew up around horses.
See, that makes it even weirder.
That does make it even weirder.
That's what's coming to mind.
But he's really, really good. He's very good looking. He's a great interview. To your point, there are going to be people come playoffs that are introduced to Jeremy Peña for the first time. They're like what they see.
You're not wrong, I guess, because we're talking about his baseball skills.
Well, it's everything combined. It is. It's the baseball skills. It's the fact that he's a good looking kid. It's the fact that he's great with interviews.
I really want someone during like the playoffs on Fox to see Jeremy Peña come up and say, "Damn." Yeah.
Who's the guy replacing Joe Buck for baseball?
Joe Davis.
Yeah, I don't know if Joe Davis will do it.
I don't know. Maybe Joe Davis is someone who appreciates a good bot. I'm not going to lie. I appreciate a good bot. I guess now I just realize what it's sounded like all of these years.
Maybe Smoltz, in between complaining about today's game, then he'll, you know, sneak in a, wow, look at Jeremy Peña.
The kids these days, they got some bots.
Yeah, look at it. He's built. Wish I was built like him.
He's got great acting chops, great build.
Speaking of chops, see Jeremy Peña's chops?
Yeah. Ooh. Which Houston rookie are you the most excited about? And it worked out, guys, that we all have three different ones. That wasn't even planned, by the way. Just good radio.
And you say it in a way that makes it sound like it totally wasn't planned.
It really wasn't planned.
We're not just embracing debate. We're not a network television show. Speak for your pizza in the morning.
I put out a Twitter poll. You can go vote in it at Sports Vanessa. So far, there are 16 votes, and it is 100% Jabari Smith Jr.
Oh, my God. Can these Rockets people get off the internet for 5 seconds?
Okay, Paul, Jesus. Go ahead and rant about Rockets Twitter, because this is something you talk about behind the scenes.
It's all NBA fans, my God, like, these people are watching the Summer League right now and are, like, sitting around in a circle with massive pants tents while we're talking about studs over the idea of Jabari Smith being, like, this unbelievable game changer. And he's really good. He's athletic. I like what I've seen thus far. But can we get a cold bucket of ice and pour it down our pants for Summer League excitement? Some of these people are watching it with just the focus of a crazy person. And it reminds me of when I was over at the flagship, like, focusing on a preseason game like it matters at all for the Texans. Like, it's the preseason. Half of these guys are never going to play basketball in the NBA again. Let's cool the jets with the excitement over Jabari Smith. And it's the online Rockets community that I have gone to war with several times. You people thought James Harden had honor. Okay?
Are you going to call him out specifically?
You're not feeling the locksmith?
I'm not feeling the locksmith. You know what? I thought about that even more after the show yesterday. And in case you didn't know, there are Rockets fans that are trying to make Jabari Smith Jr.'s nickname the locksmith.
The locksmith.
Here's what I came up with. Okay. Agree or disagree. You can't have an NBA nickname if you haven't, wait for it, played a single game in the NBA.
Unless you give yourself the nickname.
No, you can't give yourself nicknames.
I pushed back on this because Money Manziel had a nickname.
Oh, that was a sick nickname.
Yeah.
So. Now, he was a giant bust.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Massive embarrassment for the Aggies.
Also, locksmith, it doesn't really make sense. Like, I get his last name Smith and lock, like, he locks people down.
Nah,
but locksmiths open doors.
Also, locksmiths.
they don't close them.
Locksmiths generally take, like, 60 minutes to arrive. You know?
Yeah, that's the other thing. Who loves a locksmith?
60 minutes to arrive isn't terrible.
Good no point. Offense to all the locksmiths out there. Listen.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Massive audience.
Yeah, they're just slapping the cigar.
Sorry, locksmiths.
I'm not. If you're a locksmith, we do respect you and thank you for your service.
Hog a lot here for locksmith. Sometimes.
Unfortunately,
there's
no good transition. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, NFL Watch continues. Is this retired coach going to come back? The rumors are strong. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
Passive Investor Network, people. Listen, I might not trust a locksmith to show up on time, but I do trust the Passive Investor Network to get me money through real estate investment. How do they do it? They scout out the greater Houston area, looking for a part of town that is on the rise. And guess what? They buy some of these properties, and they make them look pretty, make them look spiffy. And you could see the before and after of the Passive Investor Network pin process by going on one of their bus tours, passiveinvestor.net, enter promo code ESPN. You could go on one of those bus tours for free. You get to meet with Ronnie and his team. Ronnie is this awesome dude who is like the epitome of alpha male. He's got this like Kurt Russell flat top look. And the guy will explain like what kind of places that they are looking for and how they can flip them. He's one of many people in the Passive Investor Network who are going to really help you out. You're uncomfortable about the future. You're looking to make some money. Why not talk with the Passive Investor Network for a 5-year personalized plan? PassiveInvestor.net, promo code ESPN, PassiveInvestor.net. One more time, it's the Passive Investor Network.
ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
56 days until the NFL regular season kicks off. We're going to have a lot of content before then, of course. We're going to have training camp. We're going to have some preseason games. But that's the number, 56. Paul.
We all look the same, huh? All white people look the same to you.
All white men do look the same to me. All right, so 56, what is your number 56 jersey number selection?
Well, I mean, you can't have anyone else at number 56. It has to be the original LT. LaDainian Tomlinson should not have been able to get that nickname taken away from what might be the greatest defensive player to ever play. Lawrence Taylor, New York Giants, number 56, 3-time defensive player of the year, won the NFL MVP as a defensive player in 1986, 8-time first-team All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowler, led the NFL in sacks in 1986, 142 sacks for his career, killed Joe Theismann. I mean, he killed him. Like, he broke his neck on national TV. It's like one of the worst injuries that's ever been seen. The guy was essentially showing up to games, sometimes with the effects of cocaine still in his system, still drunk, absolute menace on the field. And also, not bad as an actor, whether it was in the movie Any Given Sunday or this little gem from The Waterboy.
Gentlemen, what brings me to my next point, don't smoke crack.
Good advice.
That's very good advice.
Thank you.
I should have told some of my family in Indiana that.
Damn. Terre Haute, it hits hard.
No, it literally was the meth capital of the world for a while, of the country.
Oh, so they're doing meth and not crack.
Yeah, gotcha. It was mostly meth. But, you know, sometimes we dabble. Sometimes we dabble. Okay, so that's our number 56. Good job, Paul.
Thank you.
The latest report from Pro Football Talk, and this was an interesting one. It stems from a report of the Miami Herald about one Sean Payton. Now, Sean, as many of you know, he retired from coaching. He didn't really know what the future held. He decided to go with a studio job with Fox,
right.
I believe. A lot of people thought it would be Amazon, but it was Fox. Hashtag sports media wars. So Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, citing an unnamed source close to Sean Payton, listed the Dolphins, Chargers, and Cowboys as teams that could draw his interest in 2023. The main factors for Payton are, according to this report, warm weather, a roster that can contend, and control over personnel decisions. Thoughts?
Okay, if it's down to three options, of those three, the Chargers are the obvious choice. Obvious choice.
He has a house in Dallas, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, as you've said before, you don't have to live in the city
argument.
You work, right?
Yeah, that's like my main argument all the time. So you just kind
of... And, I mean, wouldn't you want to live, if you're living in Dallas, I mean, to live part of the year in L.A., assuming you stay in Beverly Hills and never leave it, ever? And I really emphasize ever, just stay on Rodeo Drive, because it's pretty nice there.
I might or might not have called it Rodeo Drive when I visited there.
Yeah, whatever. It's fine. They're
bougie.
Yeah, they don't care. I feel like the obvious choice here has got to be the Chargers. Look, there are perks to being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. You still have to deal with the sometimes meddlesome Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones, whatever. Your quarterback in Dak Prescott is good. Is he ever going to be great? I don't know, especially after the ankle injury. Herbert, there's a lot of potential there. And if you're Payton, I think you're licking your chops at the idea of working with him. And the Chargers, too, the Spanos family. I don't feel like the Spanos family is going to get in the way of someone like Sean Payton, because they have really never had someone like a Sean Payton. They've had Marty Schottenheimer before. I guess you could argue he was like a great coach, but he was more of a regular season guy. Payton, you could argue, is also a regular season guy, but I think that, yeah, you got to go to the Chargers if you're Payton.
The Cowboys, in my opinion, would be a step down because of what Payton has already had. Payton not only was with a really, really strong brand and with owners that he liked, and he won a Super Bowl. The Cowboys are a team and a franchise, let's face it, that's relied completely on brand over the years. I mean, they haven't gone far in the playoffs. So I think the Cowboys would actually be a step down. The Dolphins...
Neither of us mentioned the Dolphins till
now. And here's the thing with the Dolphins. We've talked about it. The training wheels are off for Tua. I don't see them axing Mike McDaniel after a year. I really don't. So I think if it's 2023 specifically... I'm going to do something rare, which is agree with Paul Gallant.
Hell yeah.
The Chargers would actually be the best destination, and here's why. Number one, warm weather goes without saying. Number two, a roster that contend. The AFC West is going to be really difficult, but we'll see how it fares this year. And number three, control over personnel decisions. As you've said, we never hear of that family stepping in and saying a GM has to do this, has to do that, etc. So I think he'd have everything he wanted in L.A.
The Spanos are kind of the black sheep ownership group of the NFL. Like, they're completely just forgotten. No one ever thinks about them, ever. As far as the Dolphins go, so the tricky thing with Miami, and you talk about control, I'm sure that the Dolphins would give a lot of control over to Sean Payton. But there's this guy that's been looming there for basically a decade plus in Chris Greer, and I have no idea what the hell he does. But for whatever reason, he seems to have the trust of owner Stephen Ross. Is Ross just going to blow him out so that Sean Payton can have all the power in the organization? I don't really see that happening. The reason I think that Miami's being mentioned is because of those rumors that we heard about over the last couple of months about how they tried to pull off a, hey, let's hire Tom Brady, let's hire Sean Payton kind of move Brady into some sort of half player, half ownership role. To also have the same thing, I would imagine, with Payton. Maybe the Dolphins can offer more money than anybody, but got to be the Chargers. I feel like from a football perspective and from a location perspective, it ain't much better than that.
All right. What do you think? Let us know on the text line. Justin Reed, by the way, somebody that was a big part of the Texans team, a big part of the Texans locker room. I can speak as somebody, we harassed him all the time because he was one of the only Texans players that would talk to the media. He is now with the Kansas City Chiefs. He was on Good Morning Football. And spoiler alert, he's very excited to be on the Chiefs. Here's Justin Reed.
Yeah. Tell those critics why this Chiefs offense and this Chiefs team is going to be the same team that we know and love.
I'm going to do exactly what you said. I'm going to look right here in the camera.
There you go.
Pay attention to this.
Whoa!
The Chiefs offense is going to do what we always do. We're going to come out. We're going to put up 100 points. We have the greatest football quarterback in the game. The top three in no particular order, although I'm sure you guys can guess who's my number one. Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
I like the second.
He is a part of the team, but he says we're going to do what we've always done. You know me.
He's about that life.
He's about it, but don't talk about it before he ain't done it. But I love Justin, and I'm very, very excited for him.
Who was the person that was leading the conversation on that network show? Do you know who?
Rachel Bonetta.
Rachel Bonetta was very chipper in that.
She was. She was like,
I like Rachel Bonetta, but yeah! Good God. Whoa!
Let's go!
Hey!
Keep talking!
I don't think he said anything that crazy. It was a good hype man, I guess.
Yeah, I think she was doing like a wrestling character, like,
okay,
hype man.
That makes sense. I was distracted by it. Yeah, distracted
she's
by
more
that.
Of a character than like a journalist.
When it's audio good. Only, too, and you just hear, whoa! Ah! In the middle of him being like Aaron Rodgers.
Right, yeah. So I would also, you know, to your point about Justin Reed, okay, but what is done that for you and your role in Kansas City? Kansas City's defense has been largely a disappointment for the last couple of years. I mean, they've had a couple of stretches where they weren't the Achilles heel of the team, I guess, because the offense had some moments where it was really struggling, but the idea of Justin Reed joining this team that just had Tyrann Mathieu being a clear upgrade over him and making this defense anything more than it's been in the past, I have a hard time buying into that no matter how much I like Justin Reed.
What do you think, Sean Mapes?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's right to be excited because think about where he's come from and where he is now. Yeah. The first day of practice, he's probably like, oh my God, this is awesome.
Andy Dufresne.
Yeah, there's like four other players that everyone's going to swarm in the locker room other than me. I'm no longer the star of this team. And then also, yeah, he gets to play with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And, you know, they're going to do what they've always done. You know what
it's like? Whenever you see somebody that gets married for the second time and their second marriage just makes them glow, and they are so much happier than they were with the person they were before. Justin Reed is a newlywed for his second marriage. He tried with the Texans. He did marriage counseling, new coaches. He tried to make it work.
He got suspended,
and then got the Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, because that makes sense.
Got any advice for third weddings? Because that might be next for Justin Reed.
For third weddings, then you need to look at yourself. If you get married for a third time, unless you were widowed, you need to look at yourself. So if Justin Reed can't make it work with Kansas City, it's his problem.
Imagine being someone who's been married three times and it's in a locksmith listening to today's show, just slapping their steering wheel, just like,
the worst day of his life.
Yeah, what?
Justin Reed.
Justin Reed has every right to be excited. He's with the freaking Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl champs. And I like that they had him on Good Morning Football, because I always thought out of the athletes that I've covered, Justin Reed and Lance McCullers Jr. are the two that I'm like, they need to go into broadcasting.
I agree. But they're both very good at talking.
And I told Lance that actually last season.
Don't tell him that. I don't want him taking my job.
So
I see through this.
So I think that
changing the subject. Okay, fine.
Vanessa and McCullers.
Shut up, Sean.
Welcome to Vanessa and McCullers. Lance with the flow. Actually, we'd have the real Lance. We'd have fake Lance.
Oh, yeah.
We're just going to fire Paul. Okay, that's fine. I'm just going to go cry in a corner with my cat. I'll go back to weekends. Kiss my ass, Vanessa.
I love making him mad. But he has every right. He has every right to be excited about this year. He's finally on a team, and he's in a division. Think about it. He's also going from the AFC South to the AFC West. So he's going to be in a division where there's actually
going to
be competition.
It's like I'm going from doing the show every day to doing the weekends. Right.
I'm sure his agent's like, yeah, do you know how many more national televised games you're going to be on now? How many more people are going to know your name?
Enjoy Justin, and very happy for him. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, our new Yankees Watch segment. And is Paul going to go back to weekends?
I kind of want to dissect this.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I get my mics confused. I confuse Mike Leach with Mike Gundy. One has a mullet. Actually, they both kind of have mullets. Mike Leach looks like Vince Gill.
They're both outspoken mics, but only one
is likely to give you a dissertation on piracy in the Caribbean in the 1600s out of left field.
The other one's just
That's
bitter.
Mike Leach. And Mike Gundy is a man. He's 40, but he's now probably 50.
I'm a man. I'm 40. In our last segment, we talked about weekends.
Yeah.
I jokingly said Paul would go back to weekends if Lance McCullers Jr. was my co-host.
No.
What would the weekend life be like? Because I did weekends. I did local news weekends for 2 years where you work. I mean, you work every weekend. The hours are ridiculous. You have no social life. I will tell you, I could never do it again.
I don't know how TV does that because I got so used to, after finally getting my own daily show back in 2014, I got so used to having like full weekends. And I was just like, the weekends are sacred. I will make sure that every Friday and every Saturday, though that might have a shelf life itself, that I would be out somewhere, probably embarrassing myself in public. And yeah, the idea of trying to not do those things while also doing a radio show on the weekend, I don't think I'd be able to do it.
You'd probably be drunk all the time.
I have no comment on the matter, Vanessa, but you said it for me. So,
weekends, yes. Weekends are brutal. If you're somebody that works every weekend year-round, I'm not talking about like, oh, you only work weekends during football season. Year-round, that's really hard. You miss a lot.
Yes, you do.
So shout out to our weekend warriors, no matter what industry you work in. All right, it's time for our newly...
Especially if you do leg day on Saturdays. Shout out.
All of the legs. All right, shout out to our newly minted segment.
All the studs out there.
The young studs. Yankee Watch.
Yankees Watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
So the Reds almost got it done again last night. But unfortunately, the New York Yankees were able to rally and win. And in winning, they took now a 4.5 game lead on the Houston Astros like this.
And the pitch. And that one gets away as well. Here comes LeMahieu. He scores. A walk-off wild pitch. And the Yankees win it 7-6.
Very Reds way to lose.
It is, and like I've said, I love when the Reds win one because the fans are so hyped and their season really doesn't matter anymore.
But this is a put a paper bag over your head kind of loss, although someone in Red security will probably come up to you afterwards and instruct you to remove the bag on your head because that's actually happened this year. There's a person, a fan with a bag on their head being interviewed.
And the Reds made them move.
In the middle of the interview. What an idiot. Like, wait until the interview's done before you tell the guy to take the bag off his head. Unless it was some sort of weird publicity stunt that was done by someone trying to pull a coup in the Reds organization. But, yep, the Yankees won. They are 4.5 games ahead of the Astros in the American League race. So, well, let's take a look at anything else that might have happened in the Bronx. Guess what? There was a brawl.
This brawl actually got way more violent. When you put this in the rundown, I clicked on the video. I had not seen it yet. This was actually more violent than I thought.
And if I'm not mistaken, it does not look like it took place in the outfield. It looks like it took place on the first base line. And you have one man who's short with a backwards hat on who slaps another man. He's easily dispatched of and shoved to the ground. And then the next thing you know, the camera view isn't very good. One person comes out of nowhere from the back, and he's hitting the other person in the back of the head like an absolute coward. It's, you know, traditional Bronx behavior. When you have a bunch of dirty Yankee fans together, you know, in their squalor, they tend to, well, do what Yankee fans do, which is do really trashy things, which is funny considering the way the Yankees carry themselves with this class and this dignity. I mean, it is the fan that base that is most likely to throw a bunch of bottles into the outfield after winning a baseball game.
This was, if you look at the video, which Barstool Sports had posted, there's at one point where, these are all Yankees fans, right? So it's not like they're fighting a Reds fan. There's at one point, like a couple of seconds in, where one of the guys in the Yankee shirts is doing like the kind of punch that I only see in movies where it's like repeated in the same motion. It's very scary. Could cause a concussion.
Yeah. And this one guy that started the whole thing, he slapped the other guy. And his friend is trying to hold him back from the actual fight itself. And the guy, I guess, reconsiders, stands up. And that's when the smaller man, who is definitely 5'5", decides to slap one more time. And then it turns into an all-out brawl.
It's a big brawl.
How one guy's wearing a mask. but it's like around, it is legitimately around his chin.
So protect your...
Stay safe,
save lives.
It's on his chin. Like, why are you wearing it then?
Like, I don't know. I find it funny when the people have it not on all the way. Either wear it all the way or don't wear it.
Paul Sychik has been hitting the gym.
Oh, yeah. Listen.
The Seattle Mariners are getting it done. And Paul, you are the one that created Yankee Watch.
Yes.
You think at some point, do you think at some point,
we
may need a Mariners watch?
It really depends on what happens that first series coming out of the All-Star break. Because the Astros are going to Seattle and they're going to play them again. And thus far this year, I believe the series is evenly split 6-6. The Astros have swept the Mariners once, yes, but the Mariners have won the other three series, 2-1. So I feel like when it becomes perhaps the Mariners trailing by 7 games or less, we could potentially put Mariners watch into the rotation. And that's still a bit of a ways to go. I think the Mariners are now 12.5 back or something like that. But people in Seattle are getting awful chirpy. I'm on a text line with people that I used to work with at 710 ESPN Seattle, and they're all saying no one wants the Mariners. And I would say, well, hang on. Most Astros fans are still holding up their collective noses at the Mariners, who have not done anything at all over the course of their history. But I will say that the one time the Mariners have ever done anything of note was 1995, and they were trailing the Angels, I want to say, by 18 games in the American League West race, and they were able to overtake the Angels ultimately, and they went on to the world to the playoffs, and they beat the New York Yankees in a pretty epic series.
It's been a while. 1995 has been a while ago.
That's for damn
Sean,
sure.
Are you scared of the Mariners if the Astros have to play the Mariners?
No.
Wow.
So he just proved your point. Why not?
No, not really. I had to pull up the AL West standings to see, yeah, like, oh, are we hearing footsteps? And they're 11 back.
It's 11?
They won 10 in a row, and they're 11 back.
That's closer than I thought. I thought it was 12.5.
Okay. Well, you didn't count for the doubleheader yesterday.
Right, that's true.
They made up a game and a half in one day.
I didn't do the
Maybe
correct
I am
math.
Scared now.
Mm.
So
they
do you
keep
do this,
making back 1.5 games.
Do you do the split jersey if the Astros have to play the Mariners?
The A.J. Hawk, Brady Quinn.
I have no comment.
But that's a legit thing.
I have no comment.
Brady Quinn's sister, A.J. Hawk's fiance. That's fine. Paul's just...
What? I worked in both cities.
You're going to wear a Boston Red Sox hat.
No,
and
I'm
then
not.
Have a split Mariners
no,
Astros jersey.
I'm not wearing. The only time I will ever wear Red Sox gear is around my godson to make sure that he is raised properly as a New Englander. But as someone who has lived in a million different places and doesn't even know where he's from anymore, it is totally fine for somebody who made good friends with Mariners fans to still support the Mariners in his own way while liking the Astros more.
So you lived in Tampa, correct?
I went to high school in Tampa Bay, yes.
The Rays just never stuck?
No.
Great point.
Never called your name?
No.
You weren't a big Carlos Delgado guy?
No.
Because
when I was living in St. Petersburg, Florida, the amount of Yankee fans that live there kept me a Red Sox fan. Because they were all such jabroni douchebags.
Oh.
I hate Yankee fans. I never will stop hating Yankee fans. They're moron idiots. And I know I'm sounding so, so smart by just saying big words and lobbing them against them, personal insults. But that's why I stayed a Red Sox fan in Tampa Bay, Florida. Also, the Rays sucked. They were the Devil Rays then.
They were the Devil Rays. They're very retirement community. My friend Trisha Whitaker is the field reporter, and it's a very much a retirement community type of, you know, because a lot of people
Heaven's
that retire
room. Yes.
Move to Tampa. That's a nice way of saying it.
That's what they called it. It was actually the nickname.
We close out the hour with some new Cougs news. Vice President of Athletics Chris Pesman announced that Carl Lewis is the new head coach of UH Cougar Track and Field.
That's cool.
We don't talk a lot of track and field on this show, but Carl Lewis is a huge name.
And my Leroy official take Burrell, is that's cool.
Leroy Burrell left for Auburn, but they have a really successful track and field program. Carl Lewis, you may remember as the singer of the best national anthem.
I remember him as a sprinter.
To ever be performed,
mostly.
Right? Isn't he the one that did the national anthem?
I think so, though. Good? I think you are right. Listen, if I'm not mistaken, and if you are talking about the same one, unless we think all track stars look the same, that he, despite not doing... Wait,
yeah,
did he save
him.
Somebody? He saved somebody who was absolutely biffing the national
no,
anthem, and he
that
joined
was
in.
Basketball. That was Mo Cheeks, wasn't it?
I don't know now.
No, Carl Lewis sang the national anthem.
All the national anthems flow together, except for
it
Fergie's,
was like,
the best national anthem.
Mo Cheeks is the basketball coach that saved the little girl singing the national
yes,
anthem. Carl Lewis is the one that sang it,
I
and it was a disaster.
I have a YouTube video pulled up, Carl Lewis national anthem
okay.
fail.
Yeah, it was...
Oh,
it,
damn.
I can't believe you've never heard this. So this
I
means
probably
obviously
have.
We
all
have to
just
play
blend
the
together.
Shout time to 9-time Olympic gold medalist Carl Lewis, who takes over the
by the way,
track and field program.
Sugarland Space Cowboys, I will gladly
gladly sing the national anthem for you.
I am
a karaoke star. Let me sing, okay?
Coming up, we're going to...
Home of the Sugarland Space Cowboys, ESPN 92.5.
Was that the worst national anthem, or was Fergie's worse?
Fergie's is the worst thing that's ever happened to the United States. That's what we're going to talk about next segment, because it is July, and this is what we do on sports shows.
So coming up, we're going to talk a little bit of Astros, and what's the worst national anthem you've ever heard in your life? That's next on Vanessa and Gallant.
Get, no, when the whistle goes.
Real fun.
Get, no, when the whistle goes.
ESPN 97.5.